You know, last question. Obviously, it gets sharp in the final days. Do you ever see yourself in a Trump administration if it were to come to that? Or is that something you've absolutely closed the door on?
Martha, I'm running to win this race. And as much as everybody wants to talk about what I'm going to do, at some point, y'all are going to realize that I won this race, and you're going to have to accept when I say I told you so. It is slow and slow. He wins the race. I've done this the entire time. We're going to finish it. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything else. I'm running to be president.
Hmm. Is she, though? I mean, this is like one of those things where it's like, we'll see. We'll see if she is, because everything changes. Everybody says this stuff until it's time to make the announcement as to whether or not they're actually, who's going to be on the ticket. There's so much. It's all cloak and dagger, isn't it? Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch here. A lot of stuff to discuss today. Tomorrow, we're going to be at SHOT Show, and a lot of stuff to touch on there, too, because, you know, you got lawmakers that come in there, and you got policymakers and, you know, other, you know, people that work in film and all that stuff. And I'll give you a preview of that coming up. But today is the New Hampshire primary. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, Direct TV. So New Hampshire, this is where it's going to be a real test. And I think this is ultimately going to decide if Nikki Haley goes on to her home state. And it's not enough to come in just a plain second. It's just not enough to come in a plain second. It really isn't. She's going to have to get within a competitive striking distance just to make it to South Carolina. I mean, this is to say nothing of, you know, going on to, you know, Super Tuesday. Goodness. I mean, this is just trying to get to South Carolina. And so one of the differences between New Hampshire and Iowa is more, just so you have an understanding of it, Iowa is more representative of the hardcore Republican base. Whereas, you know, as you have New Hampshire, which is, there's a lot more independents in New Hampshire. I was actually looking at some of the registry. There are a lot of independents in New Hampshire. That's very interesting. It also is more favorable for Haley because she's pulling more independents than Trump. Trump is hurting with independents. This is the way it is. So now whether that's going to actually allow her to get, you know, whether that actually brings it up to where she's not going to, I don't see her taking New Hampshire. I just don't. But I do see her maybe becoming a little bit, like I said, maybe more competitive going in towards South Carolina. It's just a real, it's good. It's a wait and see. You also, what did you have? Dixville, Nachos, pull this up. That's the town that always comes in first because they have like five people that live there. God love them. And they said that it was, she got six votes in little bitty Dixville, Notch. They're always the little town that always casts the first vote. It's always minutes after midnight on Tuesday morning. And they, and all of the electorate, six of the town's electorate. It's not necessarily a measure. It's just something fun to kind of point out. But they're going into, I think polls start closing at 7. So we'll get results. I would imagine we're going to get it pretty early and we're going to have an idea pretty early on. But this New Hampshire primary, now that you have the shakeup, DeSantis out, it's between Trump and Haley. And you got another dude up there. I think a lot of DeSantis voters are going with Trump because it was, and I think this was the Trump camp that falsely was putting this out there. People who were going for DeSantis were not Trump voters. And again, it's a primary. You're talking about people who voted for Trump twice already, and it's so unfair and absolutely back-ass words to say that they were never Trump because they voted for him twice and they just had a different primary choice. I mean, it's what primaries are for. I mean, that's the whole point of them. But here's what's interesting, and kind of to my point on that, the voters that DeSantis has, they're going to Trump. They're not going to Haley. Whereas a lot of the Vivek and some of the other folks, the independents who are kind of, they're going towards Nikki Haley. She's getting the independents and she's getting a lot of the left. Here's where it gets even trickier. Don't immediately discount. And yes, there is an Operation Chaos. There is Democrats would love, and I think they've already been doing this with the media. I think they need to do it less with the voters. but they would absolutely love to be able to influence the choice of that Republicans have going into the primary and then the nomination. And so to that point, you had a lot of, because Iowa, you could just show up the same day and register. So you had a lot of Democrats that showed up and they maybe perhaps registered as Republicans. And then they went and they tried to choose Haley to make her more competitive, to come in a more competitive third place. In New Hampshire, you can't do same day like that. You have to do in advance. But still, there are a lot of independents there who left the Democrat side, and maybe they're you know, registering. They're going to lean Haley. That said, don't discount the Democrats that are genuine, that register and want to make a different choice. Because it is true, to the point of Reagan winning his election, his first election. He did so with Reagan Democrats. That's where the whole phrase Reagan Democrats comes from. So there is a little bit of weight there. Now, whether or not it's actual Reagan 2.0 Democrats that are going for Haley, or whether it's Democrats that would like to disrupt the primary, that remains to be seen. But the independents, and there's a lot of independents, more so in New Hampshire than there are in Iowa, those are the ones who are going to be really, really making this choice. And so it's going to, whether if she makes it to South Carolina, I just don't see, like I said, I don't see her going beyond that. But again, delegate race, and it's a race to see who can stay in and get the, and with the most money the longest. So she has kicking off the big primary day. And we'll get those results. And I'm going to cover all of those. I'm going to be traveling too, but I'm going to be doing, I'll be covering it over at Substack, over at Chapter and Verse. So if you want to subscribe, now's a good time to do so, because I always give you a lay of the land going into South Carolina. And then afterwards, we got Super Tuesday coming up. So, oh, they have that Democrat, Dean Phillips. He's on the ballot. I forgot about him. He's up there on the ballot. And they're doing a last minute write-in campaign for Joe Biden, because remember, Biden isn't on the New Hampshire ballot. He's not on the. He's just not on the ballot. He's. They've had. It's a long. The DNC. They were at the very beginning. Again, you had a lot of independents without a party affiliation. They were selecting. Joe Biden's name isn't on the New Hampshire ballot, so they started doing a write-in campaign for him. He's always, every single time Joe Biden has run for president, he's performed so horribly in New Hampshire. Every time he just performs poorly in New Hampshire. And remember, when he was going into the South Carolina primary, he was just dying in after Iowa, after New Hampshire, and it was James Clyburn that went in to save him. So he's never, and it's weird, he's just never done well there. So in 2020 the Democrat voters were backing Bloomberg, but then they ended up supporting Biden, but his name and his, they had a dispute between a fight between the DNC and Democrats in South Carolina, because they wanted to move the first approved Democrat primary to South Carolina. And so that's why his name's not on the ballot, because they were having a dispute over it. So they have this representative named Dean Phillips, who's a Democrat, and his name's on the ballot. I actually saw a news interview with him. So that'll be, he could technically win that primary, the Democrat primary, and then that would be a very embarrassing narrative for the Biden campaign. So I don't know, I'm just gonna sit back and kind of watch that one unfold. But Biden got in 2020, I think Biden got the 5 votes out of Dixville Notch, something like that. So we're going to see. It's it'll be weird. I mean, we're going to see how this happens, how this unfolds today. So now the other big news that we're following, that I was tweeting about last night, the Supreme Court, this is immigration. The Supreme Court has ruled, you know, the razor wire that was in Texas, right? The whole razor wire, the fencing down there. So the Supreme Court has ruled against Texas on the razor wire. There's a lot of weeping and gnashing of the teeth over this, understandably so, because there's a lot of questions as to why Amy Coney Barrett, and it was John Roberts and Barrett that ended up going against the other conservative justices on this whole issue. And so this ruling, and this has been a back and forth with Operation Lone Star, which was conceived and implemented in March 2021. And the governor realized, oh my gosh, as soon as Biden's inaugurated, everything that was, you know, working previously to help reduce, you know, the mass numbers that we saw at the border, that's going to go away. So the Operation Lone Star is taxpayer funded by the Texas legislature. We, you know, Texans here in the state, we would like for the border to be secure. And so now the National Guard, they put up razor wire in certain more shallow parts of the Rio and certain popular crossings there as a deterrent. And that's when you had the feds going back and forth over it. Biden DOJ is fighting it. They were the ones who previously had cut razor wire, the feds, and were lifting it up. That's where that infamous video that Bill Melugin got, where you had all of these people that were literally just, you know, walking across the shallow part of the Rio, climbing up on the bank in Texas. And Border Patrol, the feds were holding up the fence and allowing these people. And you literally can see the cartel coyotes right on the other side, on the Mexico side. You can see the cartel members watching as our federal government assists them in their human trafficking operation, which nets them about $35 to $39 million a week on a popular 245-mile stretch of the border down there. Insane. So Eagle Pass has been the staging area. They had the Shelby Park fight, and that's when the governor took control of Shelby Park, and they put up the fencing, and they put the feds out in the media, and the Biden DOJ was immediately trying to make up stories about drowning illegal immigrants in the Rio to go with them over that. And so now we have the Supreme Court. That was the question before the Supreme Court was whether or not, you know, the Texas National Guard, as a part of a takeover of that area, they're not giving Border Patrol access, and they can put up razor wire so that people can't, as a deterrent, so to not have people make it through and get up on the bank in Texas. And so the Supreme Court, the ruling is a 5-4 vote. It struck down a lower court ruling that was blocking Border Patrol from cutting or moving or removing altogether that state-owned razor wire. And they said that the previous exception to that, there was one exception before the Supreme Court ruling, and that was if there was an emergency issue involving illegal immigrants and Border Patrol had to provide assistance. So you had Chief Justice John Roberts and you had Amy Coney Barrett. They sided with the progressives on the Supreme Court and handed Biden a win. And that's insane to me. And this is, you know, this is after one of the, and remember that discredited story that we were talking about that I was so upset about last week. Well, this is one of the reasons why I was upset about it. Don't think for a second that this false narrative isn't used to influence decisions, because it is. So that's Paxton responded. He said this isn't over. He said it's a temporary ruling. Abbott said the same thing. And even before the ruling came out, Abbott was already putting up more fencing. I had tweeted that out yesterday. And so it's going to be a back and forth fight. He said nothing's changing. He said that Texas is going to fight it. And this is where we are. But what's amazing to me is that you have the Supreme Court, especially with some of these other decisions, they actually will determine that it's justifiable or somehow legally acceptable for the government to lock you down and the government to keep you in your house and the government to enforce quarantine. But this at the southern border is okay. If you want the best tasting coffee brewed by Vets, a veteran-owned company, then this is the coffee for you. I mean, you want coffee that's strong and bold, and you want to wake up with a kick in the neck in the morning, right? It's just the way it is. Black Rifle Coffee's got the perfect brew for you. If you're tired of bland, mediocre coffee, this is the best way to get it is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. High quality coffee roasted right here in America, delivered right to your door with no shipping fees. Anytime you want. I mean, you're never going to run out of coffee. Like I said, veteran owned, they employ active duty and retired veterans. They roast all of their coffee here. They don't white label it after importing it in from a different country and then claim that they do it here. They actually do it here. And they support law enforcement and a lot of veterans charities as well. So the coffee club, this is what we do. So you pick your coffee, the brew you want. You choose how often you want it delivered. You get it shipped to your door for free. And then you never run out of coffee. You're in coffee heaven. It's amazing. And everything that you need for that perfect brew, they also have grinders, mugs, kettles, everything. And when you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today and get 30% off of your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I don't know if you heard, but Pawn Stars star Rick Harrison lost his son. He's so horrible. His son, 39 years old, Adam, died from a fentanyl overdose. He confirmed in a statement to the New York Post, quote, yes, I can confirm Adam died from fentanyl. He also said, mentioned the fentanyl crisis in this country. The family lives in Vegas, and it's just sad. And we're thinking of the Harrison family today. Just awful. Putin stoking tension with the U.S. He says that he's such a troll. He says the 1867 sale of Alaska was illegal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, too bad, so sad, dude. It's done. So he's a troll. He's purposefully trolling. That's what this is. The birth rate is plunging because millennials are deciding against being parents. Yeah, so the birth rate, not doing so good. Millennials are saying that less than a fifth of them, specifically those between 26 and 35, they're certain that they want to become parents, but they're also, they say that environmental concerns, actually some, like literally one study that was conducted by the University of Southampton, this is in the UK, they sampled 7,000 individuals ranging from 18 to 59. So they were looking at millennials, 19% of millennials, and it said they wanted to have kids, 30% leaned towards maybe wanting them, older ones, 36 and 41. How are you 41 and a millennial? They said that they are certain they will not have kids. And one of the reasons they said was climate change. I can't even make this up. This is so weird. I feel like All right, so a huge data leak. It's been named the mother of all breaches. Sees 26 million records leaked from sites, including Twitter, LinkedIn, and Dropbox. And 26 billion personal records. Researchers say it's the biggest ever data leak. And they said that it's dangerous. It could prompt a tsunami of cybercrime. All kinds of stuff. Of course, you know, Tencent, they had the worst. It was $1.5 billion. Tencent's a CCP-owned company. Everything from Evite, all of this stuff, Adobe. They said that you can use CyberNews' data leak checker and enter your email address or phone number and then put check now to see whether or not your information has been leaked. It's CyberNews' data leak checker, so that's how you do it. Also, let's see here. Groundbreaking Alzheimer's test can spot the disease 15 years before symptoms emerge, and a huge breakthrough. It's a new national screening program for people who are over 50. This is like Warhammer with the tech priest. Robotic priests, AI cults, and a Bible by ChatGPT. People around the world are worshiping robots and AI. Churches of AI. That's a new thing now. That's an actual thing. You know what? If you build something weird, the freaks will come. That's typically how it works. You know, it's, I mean, Field of Dreams, you know, that's a variable. Baseball fans or baseball field, it doesn't matter. We have a lot more on the way, including who pays the bills in Florida when it comes to Trump's legal stuff. We're going to talk about that too coming up. Stick with us. As we get moving, our partners help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Wise Foods. Wise Foods wants to make sure that you're prepared, because when emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to worry about is where your next meal comes from. So you can buy one, get one. They have a discount right now. Buy one, get one free discount on their 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com. You type Dana in the search bar. And when you put Dana in the search bar, you're going to get access to all kinds of deals on their best-selling products. The 72-hour food kit, the buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. And it includes two boxes with 12 pouches of delicious premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, so much, and 11,120 total calories in each kit. And all the food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients. All freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. They also have their heirloom seed vault, so you can start thinking about your next garden. Seeds are non-hybrid, non-GMO, open pollinated heirloom varieties, and every kit has more than 4,500 seeds. 10-year shelf life. So order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free on the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. That's wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana in the search bar.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
It's about the agenda, and it's about what the American people have seen. Donald Trump has done this job, Laura. We've talked about that many, many times. And Nikki Haley does represent the old guard and the old way in the Republican Party. That's how she came up. That's how she governed in South Carolina.
It's true.
The voters in our country, Republican voters in our country, do not want that. They are tired of business as usual.
This is Byron Donalds out of Florida. It is true, and I play this because I have a lot of people who I think are, not a lot, I got, let me look and see. How many did I want to be accurate? Dana Lash here with you while I look this up. And again, welcome back to the program. Oh, maybe, I mean, it wasn't a lot in the grand scheme of things. This is maybe like 18 or 19 emails. I mean, normally when I get a lot of feedback, it's a lot more than that. But it was enough to where, and they were like legitimate people, and they were, you know, they're legitimate listeners and, you know, all this. And they were saying, well, you know, Dana, I remember, you know, she came up, Nikki Haley came up during the Tea Party. Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean she stayed within that spirit. And I also think, too, there were a lot of very clever politicians that came up, you know, during that time. And they sort of kind of hid their true colors quite well, or they morphed over time. And, you know, it can be a good thing or a bad thing. I've always said, too, that movements, and that includes the Tea Party, and I've said this, and I say this as one of the founding members of it, a movement that lasts too long becomes a grift. At some point, you have to have some sort of, you got to move into some kind of action phase. And the Tea Party did. And you would never have had Donald Trump without the Tea Party. You would not have. You absolutely would not have. It's one of the reasons why his campaign, when he first appeared at CPAC, asked me to introduce him. So Haley may have come up in the Tea Party, but in terms of, you know, her prominence as governor, but she didn't stay Tea Party. You know, she did a lot of, I mean, if you look at her record as governor, there were a lot of moderate moves. And even now, a lot of her positions, when she lists them, because they're not exactly like super easy to find on her website, are pretty moderate. And the way that she has run from cultural issues, this is another thing that I find such a worrisome issue. And it worries me with the Trump campaign, too. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But her position with China, I noted the last debate, she was saying that she was proud to have developed these trade relations with China. Or something. And I actually said on Twitter, I can't believe that's an actual sentence that she just said in the debate, because it went far beyond that. I mean, you have trade relations, and then you have what she was doing, which was selling actual land outright to the CCP, which is, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And so she's got a lot of, you know, moderate, and she constantly plays identity politics, which, as you know, I hate with the burning passion of a thousand suns. I can't stand constantly being, I mean, we see you, we know you're a chick. You don't constantly have to be reminded. We know that you are, your family hails from India. We know this. We don't have to constantly be reminded. For voters that she's trying to reach, they don't care. Only the left cares about that stuff. So when I hear candidates saying that, I'm like, who are you trying to impress here? So that just bugs me. Whenever I hear candidates do that, especially if they're chicks, I immediately, I wince. But what Donald's is saying, that she represents the old guard. I do think, too, that there are some people, and let's be fair, there are people in the Trump camp that are old guard. I mean, he's an incumbent. I mean, by very nature, you're not an outsider anymore by very nature of being an incumbent. But he's got some people that were in his cabinet and that worked with him that were absolutely old guard. I mean, for crying out loud, the tax plan that gave temporary tax cuts, which one of my biggest complaints besides the gun stuff during his tenure was that they weren't made permanent. Loved him when they happened. They were brilliant. I'm like, oh, please, for the love of all things holy, make these permanent. That was a Paul Ryan plan. The amnesty plan that they were working on, 1.8, they were going to increase the number of H-1Bs. I think it was only by 20,000. That was also a Paul Ryan thing. There were a couple of Mitch McConnell. I mean, so there's an element of old guard there as well. However, the difference is that the current, the old guard right now is definitely, I mean, the establishment as you might define it by faces, whether it's the Bushes and the Roves, et cetera. And I'm just using them as avatars. They are supportive of her. Now, I think the media wants Trump. I think that Haley is, and I don't like Haley, and I don't like saying this, but the reason I bring it out is because maybe somebody in the Trump camp will do something about him hemorrhaging moderates and independents, because that's got to stop. She's more competitive with Biden than he is, only just by some of the latest polling. And I want you to watch. They're going to start shifting the national polling now. I'm already seeing it. Let me pull this up. I started seeing this with a Politico piece that ran earlier this morning. And the Politico piece says this. And this is like one of the big first times that they're really starting to hit this. It says, Donald Trump has a big problem ahead. A whole swath of GOP voters appear firmly committed to not voting. Well, I don't think that's true. But one of the things they do touch on in this piece is independence. Now, he struggled with independence in 2018, 2020, and 2022. Republicans did as a whole, and him. In some of these special elections where it mattered, it hurt us. you got to remedy that. You want to win, you got to remedy it. It does you no good to make up stories to help yourself fall asleep better at night about your candidate that only contributes to you losing everything for the nation in November. If you want to win, you have to admit these truths that are indisputable and you have to fix them. People who are serious about winning and putting America first will be honest, admit them, and fix them. People who want to blow smoke up the ass of the voters and grift will lie and then get mad at all the other people who speak honestly about these absolute God-honest truths. The end. So this said, we got to do something about the independent moderate thing. And that does not mean running to the center. It does not mean denying your record on abortion. It does not mean going soft on immigration. It just means being more committed and smarter with your messaging. Case in point. I always use this because this is the big issue that, well, it's the issue that they started with, going after abortion. Going after the Wisconsin court elections, then you had Virginia. Democrats really were pushing abortion because Democrats still think that women are stupid. You see, it's like when a woman goes, it's like this old trope of when a woman or a man goes and buys a car. Well, the guy gets told everything about the horsepower, the engine, all this other stuff. And the woman gets told about the lighted cosmetic mirror in the and the visor and then the cup holders. That's how Democrats treat women when it comes to policy. You know, women are just as much interested in economic policy. We're as much interested in trade policy. We are as much interested in foreign policy. We are as much interested in all of these other things. But yet, what is the issue that Democrats consistently push first and foremost? Abortion. Everything is about abortion. Why don't they just go ahead and tell us about the cup holders? It's so stupid. It's so unbelievably patronizing and sexist. And yet all of these grifting, stupid, flippity feminists don't pick up on it. They are bought and sold into it. Nobody talks to them about, well, let's talk about quantitative easing. Let's discuss, you know, how, you know, the Fed, and let's discuss, you know, the issue with trade and tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. No, no, no. It's all abortion. That's what it is. Every time, abortion. So that's what they started with. They made their attack out. I played it yesterday. And that's what they're trying, because Republicans outside of Florida have no idea how to talk about it. And the right loves shooting itself in the foot. Oh, they love it. The right is so stupid on strategy. Sometimes I could scream and pull my hair out in yours too. It's infuriating. In Florida, this is what they did. Because they had, they signed a 15-week ban. And this is how they accurately and very forthright, without using any of the trappings of political narrative massaging, they just outright said exactly what it was. This is what you're talking about, going on the heels of the bill that was in the Senate, co-sponsored by every Democrat in the Senate. What they presented it as was taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up till the moment of birth. And that's exactly what that bill was, by the way. I am not exaggerating. I read the damn thing. It is exactly that, verbatim. And they accurately they messaged this. Do you want to be paying for abortion as a form of birth control for someone else's sexual recreation up till the moment of birth? This is what's happening. This is what we're moving to. How long does it take a woman to decide whether or not she wants to keep her baby? And then they think that women are stupid and that other women who haven't had babies, or men, they think that they're all dumb enough to say, oh, well, you know, they have to be able to have access. They have to be. Women go to OBGYNs. They go and see their obstetricians. They're not like sitting around waiting until the 8th month of pregnancy. I guess they better just go into Planned Parenthood. According to Planned Parenthood's own statistics, the majority of women who are getting abortions are older middle class women that have more than one child already, or they have a child already. It is a form of birth control. And that's where they make all their fat bank. That's why Planned Parenthood opposed birth control over the counter too, by the way, because they wanted to be the ultimate control over that. They fought Republicans tooth and nail two times over that. Democrats helped them because Democrats get all their money from Planned Parenthood. We give taxpayer dollars to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood then turns around and donates to Democrats, a la we are donating to Democrats through our taxpayer dollars. Yay, taxes, blank the IRS. Hey. So this is the reality of it. And this is what Democrats are pushing. Abortion. Trump already tried to maneuver to the middle on this. He needs to embrace and get really smart. He needs to get smarter people to help message him. He's got to get better people on this. He's the Roe v. Wade president. He was in office with Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. How are you not claiming that as a win? Why are you trying to run from that? I don't care how hardcore pro-life you are. If you are for limited government, then you should be like, all right, ladies, if you're not going to keep your knees kissing, then you better assume responsibility for the consequences of what may happen. It's not our responsibility to pay for y'all's stuff. That's not empowered woman. That's just a glorified form of prostitution. Going to your pimp daddy, Uncle Sam, can you help pay for my abortion? They've got to get better at messaging this. And they should look, if they weren't so terrified of saying, well, Florida did a good job because they're afraid it might leak over into some kind of compliment for DeSantis. They should just totally copy and paste that and steal it outright and do it. That's the messaging to have. Because you know what? It didn't hurt Republicans in Florida. Democrats were voting for Republicans in Florida. Y'all, they took Miami Beach. They took Miami. They took Miami-Dade. They took Palm Beach County. These are two counties that have never gone Republican before, and they took them. There were Democrats, lifelong Democrats voting for Republicans in Florida, a swing state that is now no longer a swing state. Maybe take a clue. That's how the party should be messaging about this nationwide. That is a swing state. They're not a super conservative state. I'm so tired of everyone like, well, Florida is not like New York. La hell, look, it is, a lot of New Yorkers went there. It's a swing state. Copy and paste. He needs to not run to the middle, because when you water down conservatism at the ballot, it doesn't move. People won't vote for it. Every single election, this has happened every single time. That is the number one thing people need to hold the line on. Even if you're one of those people who have migrated over to the Republican Party because Democrats are so bad, and you don't necessarily, you're like, maybe you're one of those people who don't totally adopt the whole hardcore pro-life message. At the very least, you should recognize. And again, I read the bill. I linked it on my Substack. I highlighted and screenshotted portions of the bill for those people who didn't want to read through the whole PDF. That's literally what it was doing. That's what they want to move towards. That's not something that taxpayers, particularly during a time of superinflation, should be subsidizing on top of paying off everyone's student loans and everything else. That's a message that works. That's what they need to do and not run to the middle. That's how you help stave off losing those independents. So you have the media. I'm warning you, they're going to start changing national polling. The headlines are going to start changing. I've already seen it. I've already seen one poll that's been changed, and I've already seen the narrative start to shift. I'm warning you now, they better be ready. I don't. What is the RNC doing? Where even are they? Who knows what they're doing? I have no idea what they're doing. They tweet. Other than that, I don't know. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country, and Patriot Mobile just wants to save you money. And they've been doing this for a decade. This is my actual literal cell phone service. You can get free activation with code Dana. Call them today. You get dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, the best service without funding the progressive left. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. 100% US-based customer service team. It makes it super easy to switch. So just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Dana to get free activation. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make the switch today, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But you know what? We've got a lot on the line here. We really do. And you look at what's happening in this election. Yes. Are you going to vote for me?
You better be careful with that, considering those articles that came out.
Get out of here.
He was heckling her. Yeah. Oh, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Always good to be with you. So, they're campaigning in New Hampshire. There, it's getting going. They had, I think everything closes at 7. And we'll have, I'll be on social media, and I'll also have stuff up at Substack, Chapter and Verse. So I'll have that up there for you too. So you'll be able to check it out, and we'll have, of course, a recap live coverage and what it means as well going into South Carolina. She has to be super competitive, or it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Will not happen for her. It won't be a realistic thing. She's got to be, it's not enough to just be like in second place. You've got to be super competitive, and she's got to take it to within 10 points or less, I think, anyway. So we'll cover all of that good stuff as we barrel towards the conclusion of that. Now, coming up in our second hour, there is, it looks like, a fight over legal bills, the former president's legal bills in Florida. They are withdrawing the bill, but it was pushed out there. Politico updated the report late last night saying that they were going to withdraw this bill because there was a bill that a Florida Republican had introduced to use taxpayer money to help pay for former President Trump's multiple legal battles. It was State Senator Leanna Garcia. She filed a bill for the legislative session that would allow the state to hand up to $5 million of taxpayer money for his legal bills. Now, his PAC, it's the Save America PAC. They've paid we're getting up to about $40 million in legal fees. It's his Save America PAC, that's what's paying his legal fees. So I'm just like, is it needed to use taxpayer dollars for that? And I don't know why a Republican would consider something like that, but that's what a Republican did. So we'll get into some of that. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up. New Hampshire, energy, all kinds. Stick with us. Our partners over at Nimi Skincare. New year, new you. You want to get skincare. I mean, look, this is a very personal issue for women, particularly. And that's why so many women, it didn't matter what side of the political spectrum they were on, were livid when they saw all of these skincare companies start marketing skincare products using men cosplaying as women, because women's skin is different and we have different needs at different stages of our lives. And Nimi Skincare understands this. So it's a made in the USA company owned by people who are like-minded. They do not test on animals, which is, you know, might be important to you. It is to me. They also don't have parabens or any other stuff that actually aggravates your skin and can accelerate aging. They have really, really great ingredients in all of their wake-up routines, their bedtime moisturizing routines, and you can save 10% off using code Dana at Nimi Skincare. They have their morning routine includes vitamin C, peptides to brighten and improve elasticity of your skin, make it glow, even skin tone, complexion. Their moisturizing routine that you can use at night, ultra hydrating, which is a really good boost when it gets cold and dry outside during winter, replenishes your skin while you sleep. It has retinol, all kinds of good things that the skin needs. And they support your values. And again, made in the USA. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So treat your skin nicely and take the guesswork out of your routine with Nimi Skincare. NIMI, NimiSkincare.com. Use promo code Dana for 10% off.
Why are you guys making it easier for people to enter the country illegally?
I don't believe we are. Why do you think we are?
Well, you guys sued to cut razor wire that was put in place by Texas officials.
So that the Border Patrol could actually do their jobs, but keep going.
Well, you won in court, so now what? The Border Patrol Union president is saying the Supreme Court's decision is going to undoubtedly encourage more illegal immigration. Do you guys know better than the Border Patrol Union?
The Border Patrol needed access, and that's why we sued to get rid of that razor wire, so that they could do their jobs. And you know what would also help them do their jobs, Peter? More Border Patrol agents. There's an idea. And if you go back to the supplemental request that we put in, there's money in there for some 1,300 additional Border Patrol agents. We want to help them do their jobs. We want to give them more resources. And the answer we keep getting back from House Republicans is no, no, no.
No, that's absolutely not true either, because that's not all what the bill included. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. That's not all it included, by the way. That's not all at all. The CBO was saying that he was using the parole loophole too, that Biden was, to release like somehow like 6.2 2 or somehow million illegal aliens into the U.S. And no, there's going to be no recourse on that. There was going to, I mean, there's like no recourse on a whole bunch of issues for him. So yeah, and in addition to that, the funding, they were reducing the funding. It was a drop in the bucket. And they also wanted to send money to Ukraine and spend all this other stuff that had nothing to do with border security. None of it. Welcome back. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can also join the discussion over at YouTube. Find us YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. The CBO issued a report talking about this whole thing as well. Just the number of people that have been coming in and the gotaways, because you know that was one of the reasons why Texas wanted to have this fence and the razor wire and the floating barrier in the Rio as a force multiplier, as a deterrent. You had in 2023 900,000 illegal entrants that were released, according to the CBO, after they walked up to a border gate. And they were released. Then you had 1.1 million illegal entrants that were released after they crossed through the gaps in the border wall. Half of them were let into the country by October 1st of last year. And Biden used the parole loophole in the border law. And now they were, one of the other things that they were tacking onto that bill, they wanted to expand the doorway for that parole. Now the inflow included about, they're estimating, 860,000 gotaways who sneaked past the lightly guarded wall, and then 430,000 people who remained in the U.S. after their visas had expired. And the CBO data does not include the hundreds of thousands released since October 1st of 23. So just in 3 years, that's about 6.2 million illegal immigrants. That doesn't include the 1.7 million known gotaways. I mean, it could be up to 9 million. That's the number. That is the number. So when they talk about the border financing, etc., that was just like a drop in the bucket. It really was just a drop in the bucket. It's pathetic, really. And to have the Supreme Court fight, and this is the other big thing here, because we had the Supreme Court decision where you had Chief Justice Roberts and then you had Amy Coney Barrett, who voted with the progressive justices against Texas having the razor wire at the border. And there's a lot of criticism of Coney Barrett because she apparently thinks that it's okay, you know, if you have a state that can lock down people. But not okay if you have people who are illegally entering the country and there's apparently no recourse for this. So you had three progressives, Ann Roberts and Barrett, and that was the decision in a 5-4 vote, striking down the lower court ruling that blocked Border Patrol from cutting or moving the state-owned razor wire. Now, the DOJ has been just waging war, particularly on Texas and Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the AG Ken Paxton, because they're mad that the governor and the elected officials in the state of Texas are protecting Texans. So they're going to respond to this. Paxton noted that this ruling from SCOTUS, this is a temporary ruling, and it's which is true, but it is incredibly troubling that we're here at all. However, I do remember, you know, when all of this was happening with the Supreme Court, there were people who were saying that Barrett was just for the other choices to consider, she seemed the most conservative one. And I liked her ruling as it pertained to white collar criminals and firearms. So, you know, that was one area where I agreed with her on. But now in looking at this, and especially, there's a lot of discussion as to what motivated her for this. I mean, Roberts is, you know, he's a moderate at best. But she had supported the Illinois lockdown on the Seventh Circuit. And this is something that's important to note. I wanted to go back to this piece. This is a Politico piece that ran a couple of years ago. This was a 2020 piece. And it gets into how when she was on the Seventh Circuit, the court had turned down the Illinois Republican Party's bid to block a coronavirus-related lockdown order that was limiting political gatherings to no more than 50 people. It was the three-judge panel that included, it included Barrett, Trump appointees, progressive, and they were trying to get a preliminary injunction against the enforcement of this order that Pritzker had issued. And they were saying that his decision to exempt churches and other religious organizations undermined his ability to leave that limit in place against political assemblies because it's a free speech issue, which I agree with. So you have the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals held the exemption for religion Pritzker issued under legal. There was a lot of religious groups that got involved. And they were saying that the Supreme Court precedent doesn't compel the governor to treat all gatherings alike. Wow. And they said that the enforcement was being handled at the local level, not by the state. And she supported the Illinois lockdown. So she thinks that the state can lock down its citizens. And the state of Illinois can demand that they inject themselves with experimental solutions. But they can't stop an invasion at the southern border. Interesting. Now, I'm telling you, the Supreme Court, it could get worse. You got Democrats winning. Guess what? They'll pack it. Imagine the decisions that'll come out there. We got some Second Amendment stuff that'll be coming up before Supreme Court. I mean, there was a great piece, in fact, a couple of great pieces that were examining some of these past decisions and then comparing them to the reasoning now. There was my friend Daniel Horowitz had a piece where he was specifically looking at whether it was Bostock, whether it was blocking a Florida appeal during this whole time. It's not as conservative as you think. And that's where I do depart. A free speech issue. That's not something that is relegated to the states. That is a natural right that's affirmed by the Constitution. And that doesn't mean that the states then have the authority to somehow limit your natural right. That's not what that means. But I think you have to adopt that perspective in order to get to this position with her ruling. It just doesn't make any sense. So this is the fight. So we'll see how this goes. It's a temporary ruling. Texas is still fighting it. I wanted to play for you this audio. Kamala Harris was, I'll pull this up because this came out just a little bit ago. She was giving an interview. She was on The View. She was saying that she talks to parents on the campaign trail, and this is their top concern about their daughters. Listen to this audio.
What they are telling me in state after state is that they are concerned about the future of our country. Many of us often think about the future of our country in the context of our children. And so they talk about their concern that if their daughter is going to college, will she go to a state where she will have access to the health care she might need, including reproductive health?
So are you basing your college decision on academics or where you can go and get services for recreational activities? They make women sound like, you know, rabid rabbits that can't control themselves. Oh, I guess we better find a university where we can go and get those abortions, ladies. I mean, it should be about academics. I mean, what a way to just, you know, to stereotype and go along with the caricature that the third wave feminists and the patriarchy, which are the same thing, that they have portrayed women as. Just it's asinine. Maybe, I don't know, study and don't hoe it up. Maybe do that. Good grief. This isn't difficult. You know how many women go through college and they don't have to worry about, well, I should go where I can get abortions. What are you doing in college? You're supposed to be studying. You're supposed to be getting that degree, making those grades. This is what's wrong with people. It's also why aliens don't visit us. That's, if you're making that decision, you got some serious things going on. There's something else wrong. There's something wrong with you. That's your main concern. But you see what I'm saying? This is what Democrats do. They sell women on the lowest common denominator. Before I pay for tuition, am I going to be able to kill my baby there? I mean, good grief. If that's a parent's top concern, you raised a skank. male or female, you raised a skank. If that is your top concern as a parent, you failed your job as a parent. You did, and you need to own up to it. It's not everybody else's job because you couldn't raise a son or daughter who knows how to control their libido. That's ridiculous. I mean, animals can control their libido in the wild. They know how to act when it best serves them and when it doesn't. I mean, be better than an animal in the wild, at least. Good grief. That's an embarrassing answer. For anybody else that had, you know, for any people who have awareness, they just kind of cringe at these kind of answers. It's just, yeah. All right, so we have Quick Five on the way. We also have Florida Man as we barrel towards the bottom of this hour and some of the other stuff that we have coming up. So all the people, this is bad for the pro-Hamas folks because Hamas has rejected not only ceasefire now, but again, the two-state solution very publicly again. So where does that leave all the people who've been calling for ceasefire now and two-state solution? Where does that leave them? I've got questions. We got that, all the latest with New Hampshire and more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, this is funny. This is from NBC. A fake Joe Biden robocall told New Hampshire Democrats not to vote today. And you know how you could tell it was a robocall? Because he sounded perfectly articulate. That's why. He said voting this Tuesday only enables the Republicans in their quest to elect Donald Trump. That's what he said. It was a fake call. But the New Hampshire's AG said they're investigating. They said it could be an unlawful attempt at voter suppression. Okay. He's not even on the ballot. Biden's not even on the ballot. It's funny. But yeah, you know, you can't do that. Let's see. In-N-Out is closing an Oakland restaurant. Not because nobody wants to go there and purchase their burgers, but because the crime is so bad. So bad. Break-ins in the parking lot and everything else. They said that they can't keep it open because that's how bad the crime is. That is so sad when it's that. I mean, it's just destroying the cities. I don't know if you saw, but Gavin Newsom was tried to dunk on DeSantis about having DeSantis said he was going to honor the pledge and withdraw and suspend from the primary. And Newsom was trying to dunk on it. But has he seen like stuff like this happening in his own state? They have a poop map. Literally, it's like a constantly updated map where people mark feces on the ground so other people can avoid the area. That's a real thing. So, you know, good grief, California. Let's see here. There's also, we got a couple of other things I want to make sure that we are hitting. We got the fake robocall. We also have another Democrat. Well, we had the Fetterman audio, but it's not just Fetterman. You have Senator Maggie Hassan, a Democrat from New Hampshire, who is conceding that, yes, the border under President Biden is a crisis. And she actually said this just on NBC the other day. So now more and more senators are coming over and saying this. The J6 committee deleted more than 100 files just before the GOP took over. They said it's a new bombshell report. They said the House Administration Committee Oversight Subcommittee, led by Barry Loudermilk out of Georgia, has been looking into the security failure that day, as well as what the J6 committee did. And they said it's just really weird that all these files they just disappeared into the ether. That's kind of weird. Why wouldn't you keep it, right? I mean, if you said it was like the greatest attack on American democracy since Pearl Harbor, just bypassing 9/11 and all of that, then why wouldn't you keep all that stuff? I'm just like very, does Kinzinger want to answer as to why? What about Liz Cheney? Does she, you know? I'm just saying, nothing. Israel's proposed a 2-month ceasefire if all the hostages are released. This comes after Hamas says, we don't want a ceasefire. We also don't want a two-state solution. We don't want any of it. So we're going to talk more about this, but so what's the goal here that they have? And American and British forces carried out some more large-scale strikes on the Houthis in Yemen. Still no word from the Saudis there. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, so there is no question that our immigration system is broken. And so much so that we, as the first bill that we offered after our inauguration, was to fix the immigration system, which included what we must do to create a pathway for citizenship mm-hmm. and to put the resources that are needed into the border.
A pathway for citizenship? No. That's first off, that's Kamala Harris talking about immigration and amnesty. That's what she's talking about. She's talking about amnesty in this interview here. And no, that's not. If you want to have a pathway to citizenship, there is a way to actually make the process a little bit more streamlined. And I absolutely, I've been saying this for a decade, that it has to be done because you are penalizing the exact people that we want to come here and to join us in being Americans. I said this yesterday, and I know for those of you who've heard it, you know, it sounds familiar, but those of you who haven't, I mean, this is what America is all about. It's not about uniting around one, an identity politic like race or religion or, you know, ethnicity or anything else. It is about unity around the singular concept of, do you want to be free? Yes or no? I mean, that's simply, that's it. Do you want to be free? It's a very simple thing. And if you do want to be free, and that's you know, what you, that's how you want to live, then great. Come here, go through the process, be an American citizen, and join us. And then that's our American identity. And the people, and there are Republicans who actually are being used as stooges by the left playing into this, because they join along in playing identity politics with this stuff. And you can't, first off, because that's not how the United States ever came into being. The United States has never been a country united around anything other than freedom. That's been it. And so, whenever I see, you know, like the left, and it's funny because the left always they're the ones who actually engage in what they call the great replacement theory, where they think people are going to immigrate and replace all the white people in America. Oh my gosh, this country never started as a purely white country. What is wrong with you? It's a free country. But it's the left that promotes it, which is what I think is hysterical. And then they act like, oh, the right is afraid of the great replacement. They actually, no, the right isn't. That's like you. That's the left. And that's why the left has always systemically, they've always throughout history have been on the wrong side of it, whether it was they were fighting against the right of women to vote, whether or not they were fighting against, or they sent indigenous Americans on the trail of genocide. I mean, they've been on the wrong side of history from the get-go. And that's another reason why they promote critical race theory. Critical race theory was designed, it was weaponized, a virus to infect the minds of people to get them to turn away from the one identifying factor we all share. You want to be free. And if you can focus on all of the other little things that are inconsequential, and they are, whether you're not a whether you're a woman, whether you are white, whether you are black, whether you are Asian, whether you are whatever, is totally irrelevant to the concept of freedom. But tyrants want you to focus on that. That's why the communist left wants you to focus on all of these other variables instead of the one, freedom. That is the whole point of CRT. Division. So when talking about immigration, Republicans, first off, need to be unafraid to talk about it. They would be, and the left is shocked because they don't ever go down the border. They don't ever talk to people. The left has no idea that Hispanic Americans actually, you know, want to be able to have, you know, orderly immigration. I mean, because they do. They want orderly immigration just like everybody else. They don't want people flowing across the border, you know, by the droves illegally. They don't want this stuff. They want merit-based immigration. That's what they want. They want all of this stuff the same as any other American. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so this whole discussion on immigration, Republicans, I said this yesterday, have got to get around it, and they've got to be able to speak to it. Because when you have, especially looking at, like, for instance, H-1B visas, these are the people that they go into STEM, they go into this. I mean, fine, whatever you got to do, modify it to make sure that people, if they come here and they get educated here, that they live here, they contribute to the tax base here, they become citizens, they have kids that share their values, and they also become, you know, very hardworking citizens and add a lot to the economic base, because economic powerhouse countries are hard to topple. I'm all for that. Make sure it's merit-based. I was talking with a friend of mine who does international business, and she was saying that the United States is one of the countries that doesn't actually look at merit-based immigration. It's if you have family here, if you have blood here. Oh, I got a family member. I have a blood relative in, you know, whatever state. You can marry and get in. But everywhere else, you know, if you try to go to Ireland, if you try to go to, good heavens, you try to go anywhere else, you can't. You can't do that. It's merit-based. Like, what can you contribute to the country? What do you add as a citizen? What asset do you bring? That's the whole point. And I know people who have come to the United States. They want to immigrate here and be legal citizens. They want to be Americans. And there is virtually almost no path for them. They come here, they graduate from college, they get job offers, they work here. And they are literally the people that you want to come and be Americans with you. They are the people you want. They didn't sneak across the border. They didn't run from border patrol agents. They didn't pay a cartel to smuggle them in. They didn't do any of that stuff. They came here and they've been slugging away, grinding away for years in order to do it right. And I can't tell you how many people of my acquaintance had to go back to their home countries for several years and then come back on a visa, start the process, or they're still waiting. Meanwhile, there are people at the border who have come across. They get taxpayer-funded cell phones. They get a stipend. They get plane tickets or bus tickets. And then they get sent to some, you know, maybe it's a blood relative somewhere in the further in the interior in the United States. And in 6 years, 3 to 6 years, you got to go meet with your immigration judge if you can, you know, if you even do that. And that's it. Get driver's licenses. In California, they're allowing people who aren't even citizens to vote. I mean, for crying out loud, that's so you can see how that makes people who are working so hard, how that makes them upset. But in order to do it right, the pathway is full of stupid obstacles that it's almost like the government just wants busy work. And those are the exact people. And you know why? And you know why I also say they're the exact people that you want? Because they vote like you. They're family driven. They share your values. Oh my gosh, they're natural conservatives. Do you think the people that are coming across the border and doing drugs and dealing with fake IDs and everything, are they going to share your, does that share your values? Not every single person coming across the damn border needs asylum. That is the biggest lie told you in all of this. My friend told me of a woman she knew in her home country in Colombia. And her woman's family, her parents ran a construction company. And they had different contracts with different people. And one of the entities that they had a contract with was a secretly cartel-owned business. And they were using that business to launder money. And unknowingly, the families, because the family are devout Christians, they were unaware until the dad was taken out in a hit. Because the drug cartel, the head of that cartel was taken out. And then the underlings got mad and decided to go and look for where they could get money later. And they ended up, long story short, they ended up taking out that friend's dad and the whole family had to go into hiding. They were trying to blow up their car. They shot bullets. They shot their houses all up. And they had bullet holes riddled in the sides of their houses and all kinds of stuff. And so they had to get all their documentation. They had to literally flee in the middle of the night and secretly come to the United and beg, and they got asylum. That is an asylum case. Sneaking across the border because you don't want to do it the right way. And then sending your kid back and forth over the border a million times because you're making money off it, getting more people in. That's not asylum. There's legitimate differences here. And we need to be honest and forthright when talking about it. And Democrats don't want legal immigrants coming to this country. Because if they did, they would have made the process easier, but they don't want them because they don't vote for Democrats. That's why they don't want Cubans coming in. That's why they turned the Cubans away coming into Florida, because Cubans vote Republican. That's why Biden got into a lot of trouble when he went down to Florida and he quoted Castro. And oh my gosh, people lost their minds, deservedly so. Yeah, that's why. It's easier if you have someone who comes in who cannot generate income or anything for themselves because they can be bought, because you can give it to them. And that's their whole MO. No, they don't. Democrats don't want legal immigration. They don't want legal immigrants. They don't want law-abiding people coming into the country and joining the American dream. They don't want that. Because they're leaving somewhere for something better. And they know that Democrats aren't offering something better. They're offering what was from somewhere. And that's, so they don't want that. That's why they fight to not make it easier. All they go down and they take pictures at the border by the fence. But what do they do to actually make it easier for the people who desperately want to join the American dream and they want to work hard and generate wealth in this country and they want to raise their families here to be Americans and their kids are going to grow up, generate wealth in this country, own businesses, contribute, go to church, do everything in their community. They make it harder for those folks. A lot harder. But if you sneak across the border, it's a lot easier. That is the fact of it. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to and how many actual friends I have and acquaintances I have. And I have heard so many stories about how insane it is. And then I hear from, you know, you hear people in the news, you hear there. I mean, there, it's so easy to just come across the border. You get your immigration court date, maybe 3 to 6 years. That's it. It's just asinine. Asinine. No, wait. Republicans have got to get hard in talking about it. Otherwise, they're going to get outmaneuvered by Democrats on this. And that's asinine for that to happen.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. First up, this Lehigh Acres mailman was arrested because he was caught on camera stealing supplies from a home construction site Friday and driving away in his USPS truck, his actual United States Postal Service truck. Not the brightest bulb in the box, is he? According to Lee County Sheriff's Office, it's an owner of a local real estate company. So they saw this suspicious activity on their security camera at one of their home construction sites. And it was about, they said, about 2 o'clock. The wife went over and noticed a USPS truck parked out front, loading the vehicle with construction items from the property. So she asked the mailman, 39-year-old Christian Huarte, what he was doing. And it became clear he was not just picking up the mail. She told him that she owned the property and he needed to put the stolen supplies back. And he put some of the stuff back where he had gotten it. But he wasn't done unloading. He drove across the street and began throwing cement blocks and other construction supplies onto the side of the road. He was stealing from everywhere. And then he was trying to drive away, but the police showed up and, rebar, all kinds of stuff. And, they identified, yes, he was a mailman. And yes, he was using the USPS truck. So he was arrested and charged with grand theft from a construction site. Why in the world in your truck? I mean, not, you should do it anyway, but still, I mean, good grief. Oh my gosh. This is so crazy. Let's see here. Florida. There's another Florida man, a Florida, CFO, Jimmy Patronis. He wants to pay the legal fees of the former president. Florida's chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronis, says that this was following a Florida woman senator, state senator, who also proposed it. They were proposing taking millions of taxpayer dollars and using it to pay off some of the legal bills from the former president. I don't think that's sitting well with people. I'm just saying it's just really not sitting well with people. Also, this guy, Florida man. Destroys a bus after waking up in Disney instead of SeaWorld. 37-year-old Elijah Thomas. Now, this happened in November, but now he's going through the system, right? So he's, you know, got the trial dates and all this. He was arrested after a violent attack on a bus. It transported him to Walt Disney World. Instead, he thought, I guess, that he was going to SeaWorld. And the driver said he's got to get off. Thomas became irate. According to Orange County Sheriff's Office, began cursing at the driver. He exited the bus. The driver closed the doors. The guy remained outside. And he kept saying he needed to get to SeaWorld. And then he punched the door several times, kicked the bottom glass of the door, too. He says causing it to break. The damages were around $500. He tried to flee, but officers caught up with him, and he was arrested. They didn't pursue criminal charges, but yeah, that was the bus. Juan showing you the bus that he was attacking. Why? Just, you know, call an Uber or something. You don't have to do all of that stuff. Oh, let's see. I don't want this puppy story. I'm going to get to that. Not reading that one either. I'm not reading that one. This is a creepy Florida dude. This is in Coral Springs. A Florida man's accused of planting recording devices in his ex-girlfriend's home. So he's charged with three felonies. He broke into her house and planted all of these recording devices in his ex-girlfriend's home, in a couch, in a mattress, in a box spring. And she made the discovery after the child in her home said that he was listening to her on his laptop computer and had cameras. So the kid gave him up. They found 9 recording devices in the home, including one that he cut a hole in the mattress and put it in there. And the court records indicate they were auto-recording surveillance devices and that the victim listened to some of the files on her computer, heard her and her daughter's voices. So they got a warrant for the guy's home. They found all the stuff that he was using, and he was totally linked. He was released from jail on a $60,000 bond, but he's being charged with 2 felony burglary charges and felony charge of interception of oral communications. So you can't, you know, spy on people like that. That's not what you're supposed to do that. Let's see. A Florida man was charged with battery after a puppy sale argument led to a stabbing. Wow. That's pretty hardcore. A Florida man has been charged with aggravated battery because he stabbed somebody over a puppy. I mean, okay. I mean, Jarman McLemore, McLemore was 38. He was 28, was quickly apprehended. Aggravated battery with bodily harm. He's in jail still. Stick with us. Third hour next.
Governor, you're wearing a homemade uniting behind President Trump. You say you're showing a message of unity. How do you?
They haven't even voted here yet.
I think it's not the party uniting around President Trump. It's the political elite that are uniting around President Trump. And the political elite have never been with me my entire career because I've always fought the political elite. It's why I want them to have term limits. It's why I want them to have mental competency tests. It's why I think that I call them out on wasteful spending, whether they're a Republican or Democrat. It's why I've said if you can't give Americans a budget on time, you shouldn't get.
I kind of feel like if she were, which she's not, but I kind of feel like if she were going to get the nomination, then he would be her VP. Right? It kind of feels like that. Welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash here. Oh, boy, we are going through getting ready for New Hampshire because it is today. And I guess, you know, when polls close and as all the results come in, we'll recap all of that, like what it means, all that good stuff for you tomorrow. And then, of course, I'll have something up on the newsletter chapter and verse later tonight about it as well. So, yeah, he's campaigning. Chris Sununu is pulling for her hard. And whether or not he's going to be successful in helping her pull out a victory, I don't know. That remains to be seen. Remains to be seen because I don't think that she's going to. I just don't think that she's going to take. She's not going to win. I mean, she's competitive against Trump in New Hampshire, but I mean, in second place, I just don't see it happening. And in South Carolina, it's going to be worse, even though that's her state. I mean, you would think that, you know, in your own home state where you were governor, that you would probably put up a more of a competitive advantage or have a competitive advantage, but she actually doesn't. She's doing worse in South Carolina than she is in New Hampshire. It's weird. So we'll have all of that stuff. We'll recap it for you and bring you all the latest. But yeah, it's very, very, it's odd, but that's the way that it is. That's the way that it's set up. So they're going to have back and forth. And in the meantime, the press is getting ready to shift. As we were talking about last week, we have the immigration fight, which we were talking about as well. And then of course, they're going to pull up a couple of other things. I want to make sure that we're touching on, is all incredibly important and all going to be factoring into this. The other story, energy, an energy developer is axing key coal power plants to meet these arbitrary eco goals. jeopardizing power for millions of people. This is, it should be taken as a warning sign, but it's Minneapolis-based Xcel Energy. They're announcing that they're closing one of their three coal units at Sherburne County Generating Plant, their largest power plant, because they have plans to deliver 100% carbon-free electricity to customers, and they want to shut down all of its remaining coal facilities. They say that they're going to retire two units at the plant and another coal plant in Minnesota. And they are going to shutter all of this. The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission fired off a letter urging them to reconsider their plans. And the company, which has pledged to replace the plants with electricity generation from green energy like solar, they provide power to customers in Minnesota and South Dakota. And the risk, the reliability risk is a very real thing. I mean, this is obviously, it's a premature move. I mean, you're retiring dependable energy and replacing it to something that is proven less dependable. And this does not look good. They said that the two more plants have a total capacity of 3,000 megawatts, enough to power more than a million homes. But you know, at the same time, this is going to have, it's a risk for millions of other people. You're closing, as one regulator says, a major reliable baseload energy, and it's going to put lives at risk. All for the sake of what? To say that you have green, to say that you're going to do solar, and that's asinine. That makes zero sense. So they said that they're going to vastly expand their green energy development, but they're going to maintain their existing nuclear. That's what they're looking at. That's Xcel. And they're, by the way, they're basing their goals entirely on the United Nations climate projections and targets. The United Nations, you know, that bastion of pro-American everything. So that's what they're basing it on, is that. So you have hospitals, people who are low-income folks, farmers, small businesses, all are going to be affected. All rely upon electricity. It's a health and human safety issue. That's a major thing. And again, prematurely done. It's gonna cost. Now he's continued. Biden's continued, and he's had his war on stoves. He's had his war on what? I mean, like everything, plumbing, fixtures, all kinds of stuff. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, though, this is via Washington Examiner, has dealt him a setback. So they have dealt him a little bit of a setback because he took all this action and all of this stuff. And now they said that the court described his regulations as arbitrary and capricious. That's direct from the court. And they said that they would be, quote, ineffective and pointless. They're honest. Wow. A little bit of honesty here. Who knew? So I'm a little shocked, but they said that, yes, this, the ruling on this, because these energy restrictions, remember he was looking to eliminate gas stoves. That was like, he had a whole list of things that he wanted to go after. And it was just, it's entirely arbitrary. It's so stupid. And then they put these restrictions, performance restrictions on stuff that they know that there's no way in the world that they can meet them. And it just drives up the cost for consumers. That's the whole thing. So that's a good point. And you know, the low flow dishwashers as well, because the Washington Examiner notes that, included in this was the mandated, they wanted to push the mandated low flow shower heads. They wanted to use low flow dishwashers. And what the Examiner noted too, when you use low flow showers, guess what happens? You don't actually save water because people have to shower longer. So you're still using the same amount of water. If you do low flow dishwashers, people literally have to wash their dishes twice, or sometimes they wash them by hand. And then you can actually, there was a study done on this, you actually use 9 times as much water as an efficient dishwasher. That's a true thing. So it ends up, they say low flow, but you end up actually you end up using more water. So there's no savings, there's nothing going on here. It's all virtue signaling. It's all a veneer. That's the whole point. It's just a veneer. All of this stuff, I'm telling you, all of this stuff is up and up for up on the chopping block, up on the ballot with everything else coming up in November. Now we have New Hampshire. I'm not getting into anything. I'm not getting into any of the poll. Everything is all sketchy. Nothing's going to be concrete until a half hour after polls close. You're not going to know anything. Even the exits don't get. And I'm trying to remember if New Hampshire does exits. Iowa didn't. They did entrance polling. But you're not going to know anything until 30 minutes after polls close. That's what it is. But it will decide a lot of independents out on this. It's going to be it'll be a little bit different. That's why Haley's more competitive in New Hampshire than she is in Iowa. It's a whole different type of electorate, I don't know if you saw this post. I'm going to switch it up because one of the things that Republicans got to also not walk away from is fighting on culture, because they have won whenever they fought on culture, they've won. Where's this at? I had this piece from the New York Post and I kind of chuckled at it because it had to do, here it is. This is the headline for this. The headline sounds confusing, and it should, because you're a person with sense. The headline is this: trans man who had mastectomy discovered to be 5 months pregnant, making a rare seahorse dad. What? Yes. Trans man who had a mastectomy discovered to be 5 months pregnant, making rare seahorse dad. So it's a woman who underwent body modifications and got pregnant. That's really the actual headline. But the way that the press is, it's in the Telegraph. And it first was in European media, and then now U.S. media is picking up on it. And they call them, it's a rare group of seahorse dads. It's literally a woman who cut off her boobs, elective surgery. It wasn't medically necessary. She had medically unnecessary mastectomy and transitioned to cosplay as a dude, and then is now trying to say that she's a seahorse dad. Her name, she goes as Marco in Italian media. And apparently she was going to get a hysterectomy when they discovered she was pregnant. So they had to suspend her hormone therapy, all of that stuff. They said it puts the baby at risk, all of this kind of stuff. And they say that now she's a rare seahorse dad. She's going to go through the pregnancy and she's the child's biological mom, but they're going to register her legally as the dad, according to Italian press. It's the first of its kind in Italy. So transgender men who carry babies, the Telegraph says, are called seahorse dads because the males carry and give birth to their young in seahorses. But they're males still. It's just they're literally like an underwater organism, and they just do things differently. Stop applying all of that to just like human makeup. So apparently the Times of London said that Marco will be both a biological mother and legal father. You people don't get to make fun of the hilliest of hillbillies anymore. Not after that. You don't get to make fun of them no more. Not after that. That's crazy. It's a woman who had a baby. That's it. Why does the law have to bend to affirm your fantasy self-perception? You can't reshape reality, and you can't force other people to accommodate your fantasy self-perception. That's just stupid. You know what? Be normal and go to a cosplay event, a Comic-Con like everybody else. Just do that. Like a regular person. Just go to Comic-Con and dress up for the love. We have headlines on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a man was arrested for smuggling cocaine in bags of jumbo shrimp in New York. 22-year-old Zachary Scott could face a maximum of 20 years in prison. It was a JFK. He was arrested because he was trying to bring cocaine inside bags of jumbo shrimp. He's a citizen of the U.S. He was arrested Friday. He was going through customs. He came on American Airlines flight from Guyana. And during the screening process, they selected his suitcases for secondary screening. And they found loose clothing and all these packages of jumbo shrimp wrapped in sealed plastic. And they say that the packages of shrimp, they cut them open and they found brick objects of white powder. And it was cocaine, 40 pounds of cocaine worth about $6,000. So he could face 20 years in prison. He's detained until his bail hearing this week. That's pretty wild. Yeah. A woman, this is crazy. A woman was arrested. This is so wild. After she was found with $2,500 worth of Stanley cups in her car. She stole a bunch of Stanleys. 65 of them. People, come on. They were worth about $2,500. They're drinking things. They're thermoses. They're adult sippy cups. Why are people going nuts for these things? Why? I don't get it. The Stanley thing. They said in Roseville that this woman, they said they were trying to, they reported a theft from this store. They saw this woman take a shopping cart full of Stanleys without paying for them. Like my grandpa used to go and camp with. Well, they've revamped and now everybody's crazy over them. They said that that woman, 23, of Sacramento, was accused of grand theft. And they laid all of the cups out on her car. There's like a ton of them. They laid all these cups out on her car. And they said that, I don't know, it's social media, which is horrible. And that's what did it. And it's the 40 fluid ounce one. I think it's crazy that people are stealing this. They're going crazy. Did you hear the one? What was it? Was it a Target, the pink one, that apparently grown women were going crazy for? Grown women going crazy over a pink Stanley. Okay, I can't even. Let's see here. Also, parents are not... They're telling parents don't fly with your kids on your lap after the Alaskan Airlines thing. Because they, after that terrifying incident on board, they're urging parents to not fly with kids in their lap. They're saying that you want to be secure and safe in case, you know, they're sucked out of a window or something at 16,000 feet in the air. That's what happened with with Alaskan Airlines Flight 1282. They said the door plug blew out at 16,000 feet and it left a huge hole in the side of the plane. And they said that they had an issue because they had, you know, kids on the laps of these parents and it was just chaotic and horrible and kids were injured and all the, oh my word. So they're saying don't do lap flight. I just think that would be uncomfortable, especially if it's a long haul flight. But not everybody can afford the exorbitant price of getting another seat. So, and especially if you have a young baby, I mean, I get it, but I can't imagine it's not comfortable for the parents for sure. A California man entered a gym, took off his clothes and then threatened everybody with a knife. You know, just another day in California. Investigators said that the 31-year-old was a suspect also in an unrelated case of battery. He went to a Simi Valley gym, brandished a knife. It was Planet Fitness, wouldn't you know? When I first saw this headline, I was like, I bet it's a Planet Fitness. And of course I was. I was right. I was totally right. So he goes in, takes off his clothes, buck naked, and then threatens all the patrons at the gym with a knife. I guess he wasn't there to work out, thankfully, because that would have been gross. But he was arrested. There were no injuries. He didn't stab anybody. He just scared people. So we have more on the way as we roll through towards the conclusion of this third hour. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple weeks ago, he said that for years, quote, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, but he said, quote, I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
And the women should be prosecuted.
Proud? Proud? Proud that women across our nation are suffering? Proud that women have been robbed of a fundamental freedom? Proud that doctors could be thrown in prison for caring for their patients, that young women today have fewer rights than their mothers and grandmothers? How dare he?
Like, what rights is she talking about? This is my whole point with Democrats and women and the whole, you know, everything that they push on this. It's so incredibly annoying because they treat, you know, women are just treated like, here's our cup holders. Here's the lighted mirror and the visor. It's all you get. So goofy. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the third hour. Dana Lash here with you. They're going to trot her out because they need her to play that angle against Republicans going into November. They desperately need to play that angle. And, she had her little theatrical speech. How dare you? All this other stuff. But what rights is she talking about? I mean, it's nothing's changed except it. You're looking at the states who are handling this because you don't have that's not the federal government's responsibility to manage that issue. What is she talking about? It's birth control for recreational. That's what it is. I'm just so tired of this argument. My gosh, it's the same damn stuff that we've been arguing year after year after year, decades after decades. These old broads got to get something new to talk about. I'm so tired of it. Every election, it's the same old 60s stuff. And these old broads get up there and my body, my choice. It's not your choice if I'm paying for it, sister. Mm-mm. If I'm paying for what you're doing, I'm your madam. Get the relationship right. GOP's got to get a handle on this. All right, so New Hampshire. Going into New Hampshire, we're going to have the results tonight. And Biden's not on the ballot in New Hampshire. He really isn't. Because I told you earlier, they had a fight with the Democrat Party about the calendar and having South Carolina go. I was reading this piece that came out this morning because they got into an argument. They wanted to overhaul the primary system, and they had sent a letter to the Democratic National Committee, the Rules and Bylaws Committee, etc. And so as a result, he was penalized by, he's not been on the ballot because the New Hampshire's always been, you know, basically the first in the nation for their party's primary. That's how it's generally been. That's why he's not on the ballot. But he's got some, you know, he's there's one guy who actually may do it. He may get that Phillips guy. He may actually do it. So everyone's looking at to see what New Hampshire for Haley, what that's going to look like against Trump, because I'm looking at some of the data here. This is where she's most competitive with him. After that, I don't know where it goes. And I don't think anybody else does either, if I'm being honest. Nobody, because she's, I just don't see her unless she gets up to, unless she gets up to, I mean, he's like plus 19, the RCP average. Other averages have him at like plus 17. I mean, he's up double digits. She's got to get him within or less than 10 points. And he's just leading her. I mean, as it stands right now, he's 55 to her 36%. And we'll get that up. But he's led the entire time. It only it actually diminished a little bit back at the first of the month. But then you had Insider Advantage, you had Boston Globe, Suffolk, Emerson, and several others that showed him putting some more distance between him and Haley. So she's this is where she is the most competitive with him because she's at 36 to his 55 in South Carolina. She's looking at 21 to 52% against him. So she's not doing too well there. Not at all. So that's her own state. And the average is plus 30 over her in South Carolina right now. So she's got it. This is her last stand. This is as Iowa was to DeSantis. I really think New Hampshire is to her. However, as I've said before, this is a delegate race and it's a race to see who can survive the longest on the money that they have. And I can't see her trying to make another bid after this year. So she loses this primary unless she gets, you know, he makes her VP. I can't imagine that she would ever have another chance to be able to run for president again. So she might actually stay in all the way up till Super Tuesday, no matter how poorly she does tonight or how poorly she is measured as performing in South Carolina. So, you know, that remains to be seen. So we're going to have all of the breakdown from that. But it's the independents. I'm just looking at some of my data. It's the independents that have really been breaking for her. And that's the group that Trump needs to win. She actually can't get the base, which, you know, doesn't help her at all, because you got to be able to win the base to get the nomination. And she's struggling there, whereas Trump gets the base locked up. But then after that, he struggles to expand his lead. So that's, it's, they each have the opposite problem. And so that's going into New Hampshire. She is, you know, for all of the discussion over never Trump and not never Trump, I think it's just asinine to call people who voted for Trump twice and simply pick somebody different in the primary to say never Trump. But Haley supporters actually, I think, are. Because they've done a lot of, there've been a lot of man on the streets interviews with her, et cetera. And it's been kind of interesting to see because a lot of them are like, oh, well, we'll consider RFK if it's not her, or we'll consider, you know, this, or we're just not going to vote, or we're. So I actually think she is getting that vote. And notice that overlaps with a lot of the old Rove-esque, old compassionate conservatism establishment of the late 90s, early aughts. So this is her test. This is really her test. But I mean, has the money to stay in, you know, I mean, she does have and she's expected to do some more fundraisers. I told you that she's going into Texas and she's going to have some big establishment fundraising dinners. So we'll see. But the New Hampshire is really ultimately she's got to perform incredibly well. She's just not happy. She's just not popular in South Carolina. And if you can't win your own state, you're just not going to win. You're not competitive. If you're not doing well in your own state, I don't care if it's again, she's an incumbent too in her own state. She's a governor, which should make her even more attractive to voters than Trump, who's New York to Florida. So we'll see how this goes. We have a couple of other things to touch on as well. We've been talking about the border. We've also been talking about the latest with Israel and Hamas, because Hamas has said, yeah, we're not going to have any kind of ceasefire. We're not going to entertain the idea of a ceasefire. We're not going to do any of that stuff, which makes all the people who've been screaming about ceasefires look like absolute clowns. I mean, it really does. All the people who are like ceasefire now, they look like absolute clowns. Because they have rejected every single, they don't want a ceasefire. They don't want a ceasefire. This happened yesterday where there was another offer made because Israel has said, look, if you release the hostages, we'll have a 2-month pause in all offensive maneuvers. We will pause fighting in Gaza if you release the hostages for 2 months. That's it. Now, it wasn't ending the fighting, but they said they'll pause it for 2 months. They have 130 hostages that are still held in Gaza. A lot of Americans that are still held in Gaza. Notice that the president hasn't said a single damn thing about them. Nothing about the Americans being held there. Actual American citizens. So several dozen hostages actually probably aren't even alive anymore, but they said that they believe that more than 130 are still being held in Gaza. And you have Qatari and Egyptian mediators that have been trying to negotiate some of this and walk people towards a deal. But it's not that Israel's dragging their feet. It's that Hamas has rejected literally every single thing. Every single thing. So they've demanded a ceasefire. They've demanded all. I mean, they began a ceasefire the day after there was the day that there was a response from Israel. So now they've said there's not going to be a ceasefire. You had a ceasefire, by the way, on October 6th. They're not going to agree to anything. So now the people who were pushing them to stop the conflict, etc., they like Rashida Tlaib and AOC and Premiya Jayapal, they look like fools because these people are not, Hamas is not serious for peace. Israel is going to totally destroy them, and they should. They can't exist anymore. They cannot be allowed to exist on this rock anymore. It's done. It's been 20 years, 20 plus years of this. They can't do it anymore. Hamas doesn't want peace. They've rejected every two-state solution. They've rejected every ceasefire. They have rejected everything. They have chosen over and over again not to have peace. You cannot have peace with people who don't want it. You cannot have peace with people who are hell-bent on making war. And so now it's back to these people. So now what are you going to do? Because their leadership, they're like, yeah, it's not going to happen. They came out and officially said it. Their leader made a public statement. He said that he's still saying October 7th was just a rehearsal. There will be no ceasefire. You know, the resistance against the occupation will continue. So he said, no, it's still going to happen. So when are people going to look at Hamas and say ceasefire? Because really, those are the people you got to tell this to. It's not Israel. It's Hamas. So to me, that's a green light for them to go full steam ahead and keep doing what they're doing.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Well, I think that most women who have risen in their profession, who are leaders in their profession, have had similar experiences. Mm. I was the first woman to be elected district attorney. I was the first woman to be elected attorney general in the state of California. And I'm the first woman to be vice president. And I love my job.
She's creepy when she says that. That's a Vice President Kamala Harris. CNN says, you just don't love her enough. She's so great. Dana Lash here. Welcome back to the show. You know, her whole audio soundbite there when she was answering this question had to do with, you know, most women who have risen in their profession have similar experiences as being branded incapable, because that was the context of her question, her answer to that question. You know what? She's almost right, because we've been seeing this in different workplaces and sports teams and even with skincare companies and all kinds of stuff, because we see men who are cosplaying as women and usurping roles that are women's roles in women's leagues and in women's competitions. And we saw that too with the NXXT Women's Pro Tour, where you had a dude cosplaying as a woman and in a tournament that was literally created to, quote unquote, elevate women's participation in golf. And this dude wins it. And there's been a lot of backlash. So the tour, actually, I thought it was a good response. The tour's response was very interesting. So they released basically a statement, because people are asking, why is a man allowed to play in a women's league? Even if he's dressed like a lady and has all that, because he went through puberty as a man. He went through all this he's a man. So they put a survey in the field among the rest of the players, and they asked them to comment on their gender policies. And the Daily Caller has a piece on this, and they said that it should be applauded, because all the backlash, I mean, it looks like he's probably out. Because the tournament was January 17th. They said he was victorious. He was in the top in the points and standings, and they get two exempt Epsom Tour. They go to the Epsom Tour, and that's the LPGA's feeder tour. And if he had solid Epsom showings and he finished in the top five, then he could go on the LPGA, the Women's League. And so they said, quote, in light of recent events, this is what NXXT did, and kudos to them. We've initiated a poll amongst our top players to gather the opinions on gender policy. We believe it's vital to consider those perspectives from the people directly affected by it. And they said, we've requested Haley Davidson, that's the man cosplaying as a woman, to undergo additional testosterone testing to ensure compliance. So that's a good first step. They need to just kick him out all the way, because he's a dude competing, treating the women's league like a JV league. So when I hear people like Kamala Harris say, yes, you know, women are viewed as incapable, they absolutely are in instances like this. What, she won't speak up for these, like, actual concrete examples, though. If you want to talk about pushing women aside or making them feel second class, this is it precisely. So that's a good first step. You know, there was a lot of pushback for that, because he's quite literally appropriating a women's sports tournament, a golf tournament, and removing an actual woman deserving of that position from the leaderboard and taking her spot. That's the definition of patriarchy. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane is out. We're going to meet up with him in Vegas at SHOT Show tomorrow. Steve is in for Kane with today's dose of stupid.
Okay. You remember that Canadian reporter that tried to get at that UFC fighter? Well, he tried it again yesterday, and this is how that went.
Dana, I just want to go back. You were talking about, like, you obviously give a long leash to your fighters about, you know, what they can say when they are up there with a UFC microphone and you are getting into territory of homophobia, transphobia. Like, is there...
I don't give anybody a leash.
Well, I'm saying you...
A leash?
I'm like...
Free speech. Control what people say. Going to tell people what to believe.
Ooh. That went over just as well as you thought it would.
Yeah, that would. I'm really liking these UFC press conferences as of late. I'm really liking them. So this is a good one. Yeah, it's free. It is free speech. That's correct. All right. So tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting from SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and we have a whole bunch of awesome guests lined up for you. We're going to be talking a whole bunch of issues, and of course the New Hampshire recap. We got that as well. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.